Well, I want to ask you this question. No hands raised, okay? How many of you would say that you had a completely conflict-free life this past week? Yeah? I like the chuckles. I saw one hand kind of go up. I don't know about that. But I will say this. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, I've lived a conflict-free life? But here's the reality, and we all know it, but I'm going to say it. Life in a fallen, broken world where we live today, here's the reality. We tend to be much better at conflict than unity. We tend to be much better at putting barriers up between us and those who disagree with us than building bridges, right? I think we tend to be better at arguing our point to the neglect of listening to someone else. And also, we would rather convince someone that we are right instead of patiently listening to their point of view, right? I think that probably describes most of us in this room this morning. But you know what? Listen to this. I think, as someone said to me this past week, it's no wonder that Christian unity has largely been forgotten in the church today. If you think about it, the way that we tend, and it can often be subtle, and at times it can be not so subtle, but if you think about it, the way that we in the church battle against one another over often silly things looks no different than what we see outside in the world today. Would you agree with that? I think as we look at our country today and I look at all of the diversity and all of the disunity that's taking place today, I hear the Lord saying, let my church rise up and be unified. Let my church rise up and be a beautiful body where I am honored, I am glorified, where they are loving one another. That's what the church has got to do today, because if we're not going to rise up as a unified body around the Lord Jesus Christ, what is the world going to see? Right? The reality is this. We will never live conflict-free lives this side of heaven. It's just going to be there. We're going to disagree with one another. I think we have to realize that, right? But here's the thing. Even though we will disagree, it makes all the difference in the world how we handle those conflicts, how we engage and interact with one another when we disagree over different topics. So I was thinking and praying about this sermon. One of the passages that came up is John chapter 17. It's Jesus' high priestly prayer. Before he goes to the cross, he has this intimate moment that the curtains are pulled back and we get to enter into that moment with him as he prays to his Father. And one of the things that he prays to his Father is this. Listen to these words. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. What's he praying? He's praying for his body. He's praying for you and me, that we, the body of Christ, his church, would be one. Why? Because when they see us a unified body, do you know what they see? They see the Lord Jesus Christ. They see something powerfully different. You see, he prayed that we would be one, that we would seek to live at peace with one another, that we would live at peace with one another, that our lives would be characterized by love, and that we would be unified around a common purpose and a common mission. I want to ask, how do you think we're doing with that at St. Andrew's? How do you think we're doing with that? Some may say pretty well, and I think I would probably agree, but I think there's some work to be done. I think there's some work to be done in us as a body. I think there's some work to be done in the relationships that we have with one another, whether in this church or in another church with somebody else who's a follower of Jesus. You see, we have to think about this. We undermine the missionary calling of our lives to be disciple-making disciples when we do not live at peace with one another. We undermine the missionary calling of our lives that we would be disciples-making disciples when we do not live at peace and with unity with one another. Because think about it this way. When the body of Christ is not a unified body, what do you think people see when they peer in at us? They may think, why do I want their God? I don't think their lives, I don't see their lives looking any different than mine. But you see, what the gospel longs to do, what the Lord longs to do, is so transform us as a body that we would reflect the unity that we see in the Trinity, the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living in perfect unity with one another. That's what the Lord longs for His church. Shortly before Jesus prayed this prayer, He had a conversation with His disciples. And so in John 13, verses 34 and 35, we read these words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I've loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." What's the point? It's the point is our love for one another is so otherworldly. It is so otherworldly that when people see it, they're dying to know what it is, because their hearts are drawn to that. And it's the love that unifies us, the love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So Paul, this morning, speaks about unity. I think it's a word we need to hear. Frankly, it's something that I've been praying about for a number of weeks, and I think it's so providential how the Lord works things out. As I've started in this new year, actually starting at Advent, looking forward to going, God, what are you wanting to do with us as a body at St. Andrew's? Where are you wanting to take us? And beginning to see this glorious vision of us being a people ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit, that we are living our lives in peace and in unity with one another, that we are living our lives as gospel witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in this community around us. But can I tell you what He showed me before that can really take place in its fullness? We've got some work to do. All of us have some work to do. We've got to step back and say, God, where am I in all of this? What's going on in my heart? Am I a person of peace? Or am I someone who's bringing disunity among the body in one form or fashion? And so we hear these words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. He writes this, "I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment." I love what he says there, but let me kind of unpack it for you. He says that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. What he means here is that we would think the same way. And then in our thinking the same way, our thoughts, our minds are aligned with the gospel. You see that? That we would have the same mind, that we would have the same mind of Christ, as he later says, that we would have our minds centered and focused on the gospel. Why? Because Paul knew that there was nothing more essential, nothing more powerful, nothing more important than the gospel. And so he writes, "Let our minds be focused on the gospel." Think about it. When your mind is focused on the gospel, really focused on the gospel, you know what we're thinking about? We become overwhelmed by the sacrificial love of our Savior, right? When our mind is focused on the gospel, we are overwhelmed that we are loved more than we could ever imagine. We're overwhelmed that we're actually forgiven, right? When we know that we are so loved, when we know and understand forgiveness, and I'm not talking about rationally here, when we know it, when we experience the embrace of our Heavenly Father, that we are loved and forgiven, you know what that means? You know what happens? It means that you and I have nothing to prove. That we have nothing to prove to anybody out there. You know why we have nothing to prove? Because we have everything we could ever want in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. That's why Paul says, have your same mind, have the same mind and judgment among you. You see, when we have the same mind of Christ, when we're focused on the gospel, do you know what it does? It brings humility to us, doesn't it? It brings humility. See, the gospel sets the agenda for how we relate to one another. And when we understand this gospel, guess what? We begin to let go of our own agendas, right? I begin to say my preference for something, while I like my preference, it may not be as important as your preference for something. We let go of our agendas. We let go of having to be right. How many of you, even in your marriage, do you stand demanding to be right? And you see the wedge that puts between you and your spouse. We do the same thing in the church, don't we? But see, what this gospel does is it also pulls us away from our selfishness and our pride, which is the root of all sin. And so Paul shows us right away, if we're going to have unity, we've got to be focused on the right thing, have our minds focused on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I love it, as Paul speaks about the unity in the body, he's not implying that there must be uniformity. Just look around in this room. Do that for a second. Look around. People look different than you. You come from different places than the person that you're sitting next to. You've been given different spiritual gifts, likely, than the person that you're sitting next to, right? You have different passions than the person you're sitting next to, right? We're different in here, and we ought to be. But in the midst of those differences, we must come with the same mind, holding to the essential tenets of the gospel. That is crucial, first and foremost. And you ask, what are those tenets? I think those tenets are what we affirm every time we gather to worship in the Apostles and Nicene Creeds. Those are the foundational tenets of the gospel that we must focus on and be of one mind as the body of Christ. So in that, I was reminded of what St. Augustine once wrote. And I love this because we need to hear that in this morning. He once said this, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. You see that? In essentials, unity, that we are unified around the essentials of the gospel, but in non-essentials, that we would interact with one another with liberty, and in all things, charity. You see, there are plenty of places where we can have differing opinions, aren't there? The first one that came to mind when I was thinking about this the other day was baptism. At St. Andrew's, in the Anglican tradition, we baptize infants. And we baptize adults who've never been baptized but have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's different from my Baptist brothers and sisters. They baptize, it's a believer's baptism. You come to faith in Jesus Christ before you're baptized, and then you're baptized. Now, there's strong theological views on both sides, and I'm not about to get into those this morning. But there's strong theological reasons for both. And what we must do in the church, in the larger church, is we must come and respond with charity toward one another. I think I'm right in my view. They think they're right in their view. Guess what? I may be wrong. I'll know when Jesus comes again. But you see, in those non-essential elements of the gospel, we must live with charity with one another. And so I sat back and I began to think, Lord, what's going on at St. Andrew's? Where are there places where there's disagreement at St. Andrew's? Two things came to mind. I will tell you, I don't think they're huge, but the Lord continued to bring them to my mind, and I hear stirrings around in the crowds, around in the life of this body, and so I want to bring them up this morning. Two things that we are prone to disunity. The first, I think, has to do with the charismatic gifts of the Spirit. You see, one of the distinguishing marks of the Anglican Mission in America, the AMIA, and St. Andrew's is this, that we are a three-streams body. Now, you may have heard us talk about that before, but that we welcome in our lives these three life-giving streams of the Scripture, of the Spirit, and the sacrament, that we draw life from these. Now, with regard to the Spirit, there are differing opinions among theologians, as there have been for centuries, over those charismatic gifts of the Spirit. Some would say they've ceased. Others would say they've not ceased. I believe, as do many at St. Andrew's, that the supernatural gifts of the Spirit of speaking in tongues and prophetic words have not ceased. They're alive today as much as they were in the book of Acts. But listen, I also recognize that here at St. Andrew's, there are a lot of people who don't hold this view, and you don't have to. It's an important view, but it's not an essential. You see that? And so how do we engage with one another? We engage with one another over those differing views with liberty and with charity. You see, it matters with things like this that we recognize our differences and we treat one another with love and respect. You see, we should never pride ourselves with the gifts that we have. We should never tell someone else that they should have a gift that we have. God gives gifts as He sees fit, and there is not one gift that's more important than another. I believe that all the gifts are valuable for uplifting the body of the church. We need them, and we need to be a body not quarreling over the gifts, but in humility exercising the gifts that God has placed among us. You see, what's most important is not the gift, is it? But the way that we love one another. The Apostle Paul picks up on that later in this chapter, later in this book, in chapter 13 and 14. And that's one area. A second area where I think potential disunity can creep in is with the difference of our worship services. First service being more traditional, second service being more contemporary, and the style of music as well, right? I'm just going to name it because I hear grumblings from time to time about this. I want you to hear this. We need to be a people who are breaking down those divisions if we've put them up in our hearts against somebody else in this church. One service is not more holy than the next, okay? One's not. Now listen. One style of music is not better than the next. It just isn't. And I will say this, we all have our preferences. And the answer is not to let go of our preferences. The answer is this, so the question, am I putting my preference above the peace and purity and unity of this body of Christ here? You see, what we need to do is we need to learn to appreciate what others appreciate. Again, it doesn't mean that you abandon your preference, but I'll ask you this question. I kind of just said it a minute ago. The question that we all need to be asking, is my personal preference getting into the way of the unity of this body? Not just music, not just worship style, whatever it may be. Is there a place where your personal preference is getting in the way, putting a wedge between you and somebody else at St. Andrew's? You see, we should never put our personal preferences above the gospel, right? They should never go above the gospel, above our love for one another. Now listen, the point in me saying all of this morning is that a church like St. Andrew's is going to have differing views on the non-essentials of the gospel. But you see, the gospel teaches us how to handle those, doesn't it? Here's the first way. First and most important is this, is that we come together mutually submitting ourselves to the authority of Scripture. What does Scripture say on this? We come mutually submitting to the authority of Scripture. Secondly, we yield and seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to give us knowledge and understanding about the difference that's before us. The third way is this, is that we must listen to one another. That's a novel idea, isn't it? I don't think we often know how to do that. We're really good at talking. But we need to learn how to listen to one another. Not convince the other person that you're right, but to listen to the other person. We need to seek to understand the other person's viewpoint before we make ours understood. You see that? A wise person told me that right before I married Kimberly. They said, seek to understand more than you make yourself understood. I haven't always yielded to that advice, but I'm reminded of that today. Seek to understand more than to make yourself understood. For the peace and unity of the body. Now I'm going to add a third one. This came to mind the other day. I'm going to add a third one where disunity can creep into the church. Although I'm going to say this. I'm going to preface it by saying this. I don't really see it happening at St. Andrew's. But Paul mentions it. And so I thought I better mention it too, right? So look at verses 11 and 12. Paul writes these words. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. And what I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Why the quarreling? Why were they arguing? Why were they not unified? Do you know why? Because the people in the church of Corinth were aligning themselves to certain leaders in the church to the exclusion of others. Here's the danger. There's a great danger when we allow a personality to become front and center. When we align ourselves with one personality as opposed to another. Listen, the leadership at St. Andrew's, we all have different gifts. I've got different gifts than Dustin. Dustin has different gifts than Ryan. Ryan has different gifts than Nate. But we're all a unified body together. And here's what we have to understand, and part of what I believe Paul's getting at here, is that whatever a particular person brings to the table, it's a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. No man or woman should be elevated above where any of us should be. Every gift that I have, that you have, is a gift from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize that and give praise and honor and glory to Him, not to lift somebody else up. Now, I'm not just talking about us here at St. Andrew's, but think about various people that you follow out there that are popular today in the culture, whether it's a pastor or a very popular speaker. Think about who you're following. You have their name? We all have preferences, don't we? We all have preferences, the people we like to align ourselves with. But I'd ask this question, is that person, you're aligning yourself with that person, putting a wedge between you and someone who may not listen or like that person? You see, we can allow wedges to go. You see, some of these people that we can listen to today focus on right doctrine. Right doctrine is the key. Others will focus on grace. It's all about grace. And still again, you'll hear others focus on evangelism. We've got to be out there witnessing to the lost. And those are all good things to focus on. But listen, when we align ourselves with one particular person or one particular viewpoint, do you know what happens? We can become very prideful. We can look down upon other people who may not like following that person. But we also miss out on hearing the whole counsel of God's word, right? So let me wrap this up. There are enough divisions in the world today that we do not need them in the church. If we are going to be a light for the Lord Jesus Christ right here today in Little Rock, Arkansas in 2017, we have got to be a people who, as the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Can I tell you what the most unifying factor of our worship is? It's when we come and gather at the table week after week after week. The table reminds us of the gospel. Have this mind among yourselves, Paul said, right? Have the same mind. The gospel reminds us that it is all about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We are beggars coming to dine with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what I love every Sunday as you all come forward? There's a great diversity here. But we come as one body. We come to share one bread. And we come to drink one cup. May this meal be that place for you and for me where we have put barriers up with one another, between one another. May this place be the place where we confess that and repent and reconcile. You know, I've already made one call this week to someone where I said, I've allowed something to put a barrier between me and you, and I'm sorry. May we be a body who does that so that we can come to the table every week, unified, locking arms with all of our differences, sharing one bread, drinking one cup for the one glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray through your mercy and grace that you would make us one. Break through the differences that we have with one another. Shine the light of your grace and mercy. Bring reconciliation. And may we be a people set ablaze with the fire of your Spirit, that this community would see the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.